Over the last several weeks, our Gospels have focused on the various aspects of faith. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we had the image of the mustard seed. Our Lord reminds us that if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say, from this mountain, move here to here, and it would move, etc. We learned at that time that faith is not so much our own effort, although it requires cultivation, but first, faith is a gift from God that is received at baptism and is through time cultivated through a life in the church, through the sacraments. Last week, we had the parable of the 10 lepers. One of them was a Samaritan, the only one who came back and gave thanks. Jesus reminds the one who was healed, and consequently it's probably true for all of them, but for the one who gave thanks, he says, your faith has been your salvation. So today, we're in a different mode. Jesus mentions faith. At the end of the Gospel, he asks, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And in order to better give a little bit more body and color to this statement, he precedes it with a parable about this woman, this widow, who is pursuing this judge. And I've always identified personally with what the judge says. While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. And we're looking at the original Greek. It's really curious because it says, when he says, strike me, in Greek it literally means, come and give me a black eye. Now the reason I identify with this so personally is I remember my first assignment as a priest in Vienna, Virginia, at St. Mark. There was a woman at the parish who was kind of like this old widow. And before I started there, I had been warned about her. And we like to call her one of God's special friends. Okay? Just as a way of describing her. And I suppose she was a matriarch of the parish, had been there since its inception. And she felt that it was her vocation in life to protect the good people of St. Mark from young traditional priests like myself and my seven predecessors. So she made it a habit of literally chasing us around the vestibule of the church, the entrance, with her umbrella, trying to strike us down if she didn't like our homily. So, you know, at 7 or 8 years old, she wasn't particularly nimble, okay, but she was tenacious. And so I would shake 5 hands here, and then she'd come and take a swing, and I'd have to move. Okay. Shake 5 hands here, and I would literally just be bouncing. Now, that vestibule is about 7 times the size of ours. A lot of room to move, okay? But I had to keep one eye on her, okay, until she finally got my attention. And, of course, then she wants an appointment. Of course, you know, I'm nervous to have her come in the office because I'm afraid she's going to, you know, she's going to give me more than a black eye. You know, she could be packing heat. Okay. But to the point is, to this day, I've never forgotten her. This is the element of persistence that this woman had. Now, I think she was really misguided in her zeal, but I do have to admire her for her desire to strike me down, even though it would hurt. And she got me pretty good a couple of times, you know, in the back of the head, in the back of the leg, with her up to this big umbrella. She just, you know, she wouldn't stop. Now, you might think that's odd, okay, but, you know, it's a good reminder in the church's life that you must be as willing to suffer from the church as for her. Words of Flannery O'Connor in 1955. Point is that this widow in the parable, she doesn't have money. She doesn't have prestige. She doesn't have influence. The only thing she has is persistence. And it's very important that we know a little bit about this judge that she's talking to. This clearly was not a Jewish judge. In Israel at the time of Jesus, when the Jews, according to the law in Leviticus, would adjudicate cases, there would always be 3 judges appointed to the case. One would be supplied by the plaintiff, one would be supplied by the defendant, and then a third judge would be agreed upon by both parties. So there was always a committee ruling on these matters of arbitration or settlements. However, the Romans didn't care for that. They thought it was too inefficient, it required too much manpower, and it took too long. So they would hire judges themselves. And these men, the translation in the Greek calls them robber judges. They would render a decision, they used to say, for a dish of meat. So they're easily bribable. They expected to be bribed. They expected to be given favors and, you know, the whole nine yards. But this widow, who represents all of those who don't have that kind of means, those kinds of means, the only thing she has is persistence. It even reminds me, for those of you I know, so many of us have children or grandchildren ourselves, we're in athletics throughout our lives, if you can identify with this. I don't know how many times I've played with or against or coached individuals who were not very skilled, but boy, they hustled. They were all over the place. And that's why they played more than me. Or that's why they beat my team. Or me individually. Because they just wouldn't give up. And this is the element of faith this week that our Lord wishes to present us with, this notion of persistence. You know, it's easy to have faith in particular moments, or even for a time. But for a lifetime, for a long time, to stay with it, it's not easy. What percentage of people who become Catholic as adults eventually fall away, back to what they used to be? Because the faith is so demanding, not for its own sake, but because it contains the fullness of truth, and that places particular obligations and demands on us. It's hard. It's not easy. Or having to run around a lobby of a church for 15 months every Sunday, being chased around by a misguided widow, wielding a very big umbrella. You gotta stick with it. I mean, I don't know how many times I used to spend on my knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel next to where this used to happen, thinking, Lord, this is not what I signed up for. They told us in the seminary that the people of God would welcome us with open arms, but all this woman wants to do is take me out. Right? Please give me the grace to stick with it. Right? So, you see, it's important that we realize that at times, you know, we don't have the skill, but we can at least show up, be present, make the effort. That alone is already gold to God. I think sometimes when we come to church and we're not particularly locked in, we're even at this moment perhaps spacing out, thinking about something else, right? You know, and we leave church thinking, oh, you know, I'm so distracted in prayer, I don't pay attention during Mass, etc., etc. Well, that happens to all of us, even to the priest sometimes. You say three or four Masses in a day, after a while you just put it on autopilot and go. Okay? And each of us has to engage the mystery, be present to our Lord as He is ever present to us. But the mere fact that we actually show up, that we persist, is already very pleasing to our Lord. The second half of the story is just following through on that. More than just showing up, but being really fully engaged throughout just that 1 hour we make for most of us every week to be present to Him here. Not so much to ask Him for things, but to adore Him for His divinity, to thank Him for His benevolence, and perhaps finally at the end, to make some small petition for the needs that He already knows we have. Lastly, one certain thing should be said about this judge. Jesus does not compare God the Father in His providence for us to the judge. He juxtaposes the Father to this rapacious judge. Right? He says, if this rapacious judge, who's so corrupt, will listen to the widow, how much more then will our Heavenly Father listen to us when we cry out to Him in faith? And this is where I'd like to close this morning about this word of faith, because it relates back actually to the first reading. In the first reading, it's a great story, right? It's Moses is leading the Israelites in battle. They're getting close to taking over the promised land. And he is supported by his arms, right, by Joshua and Hur. And Joshua and Hur are holding his hands up. Now, so Moses is old, and he's sitting on a stone. And what's happened, and you realize, is that when Moses has his hands up over the battlefield, the Israelites are pushing back the Amalekites, and they're winning. But when Moses' hands droop, then the Amalekites start rallying back. So Joshua and Hur are savvy to this, and they say, Moses, sit down, sit down. And they stand on either side of him, and they buoy him up. Now, if you take the word faith in Exodus here, and then you take the word faith that Jesus says at the end, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith on earth? This is a very different perspective that the Jews have on faith, as our final thought. Faith is not our own grit, determination, or even belief in the Jewish mind. For the Jews, faith means allowing oneself to be carried or buoyed by another. Now think about that for a second. It's a very different way of looking at faith the Jews have. It's the openness, the willingness, preceded by the humility to be able to be carried by another, to place oneself in another's care, in another's charge. That's a very different way of looking at faith than perhaps what we think of it in the West, of sort of, you know, an intellectual assent that, you know, I believe or I trust. But no, rather, it's this openness, this humility. Will you let God carry you? That's all the widow had. That's all she had. God will carry her request. He will somehow find a way to mete out justice for her. This notion of allowing oneself to be carried is at the very heart of the Hebrew-Jewish understanding of what it means to have true faith. So let us pray today that this widow not only teaches us persistence, but also reminds us of the need to be carried by another, not to be so self-willed or self-determined, but allow God to do the lifting for us and to be brought along by Him to the ways of holiness and truth that only God knows He wants so badly for us. Let us pray for that persistence of desire of faith to desire it for ourselves. O Mary, conceived without sin,